Manufacturing Revival Radio. Broadcasting live from Atlanta, Georgia, and MODEX, the greatest supply chain show on earth. Today's broadcast is brought to you by Segrid, the global leader in vision-guided flexible AGVs. And now, here are your hosts, Todd Schnick and Todd Youngblood.
All right, good afternoon. This is Todd and Todd live from MODEX, Manufacturing Revival on location. Todd, we're having a great day so far, I got to tell you. I'm as enthralled with what I've seen as I thought I would be.
I am more so now that we learned in our last interview that this machine behind us, this AGV, this amazing piece of technology, is lifting 3,500 pounds, 6 feet into the air, 2 feet behind us.
A little disconcerting, but I got to tell you, it's been amazing to watch it. So, speaking of, a quick shout-out to our sponsor, Segrid.
That's what I just did.
Oh, okay.
Well, that was a great... I got to tell you, that was wonderful. All right, let's get to it.
So say hello to our guest, Tom Andell. He's the Editor-in-Chief of Material Handling and Logistics. Tom, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Thanks for stopping by and joining us. Before we get into it, take a quick sec. Tell us a little bit about you and your background.
Sure. Well, I've been covering material handling for about over 30 years now. Started when the magazine started material handling engineering, and then we went to material handling management, and then a couple of years ago, kind of in keeping with the way things were going in the industry, we changed the scope to material handling and logistics because it's more supply chain oriented and it's outside the four walls as well as inside. So we kind of shadowed the evolution of the industry as well.
Well, talk about your audience. Who are you targeting this magazine to?
Yeah, anybody who's responsible for moving product from the beginning of the supply chain, from manufacturer, even from raw materials through manufacturing to out to the field and to the customer, and then back for recycling, refurbishment, all that stuff. So it's really a kind of a circuitous supply chain. So, yeah, our readers are responsible for that, for serving their customers, getting product to them on time and as expected.
Tom, you do have that 30-year perspective on the evolution of all this technology.
Right.
Talk about the key innovations you've seen over that time frame and maybe give us a little insight into what's coming next.
I've been thinking about that as I've been walking the floor here at MODEX because I've been thinking about past trade shows that have, as I said, we kind of parallel the evolution of the industry. And really what seems to be happening now is that technology is more accessible to the end user. It used to be that the end user used to come to a show like this and kind of say, you guys handle it for me, or here's a magic box here that's going to fix my problems. Well, now with a smartphone, which you're carrying all over the place, you have an interface, a window into your supply chain. So I think that is probably the biggest message that it's all kind of come to fruition here, where the end user now understands what he needs to do to serve his customer. It's not just you're relying on some other facilitator to do that for you, even though you might really need that facilitator. At least you have an understanding now of what's going on with the technology. So I think it's no longer a big mystery about how you can improve your customer's lot in life.
Well, I get the idea that the accessibility of technology is certainly driving innovation. Is that the only thing? If not, what else is driving innovation in the industry?
I think the thing that's driving innovation is the end user. It's no longer the vendor thinking up solutions for the market. It's now so much more end user driven, I think. So you have what you see on the floor here is more realistic in terms of solutions. It's not something that an end user can't relate to. I think more and more the stuff that vendors are putting out there is in regard to what they've heard from the field. So it's for real use, real-time, real-situation usages, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting you focus on that fact that it's end-user-driven.
Yeah.
That makes a ton of sense. Typically, but quite often there are folks that, okay, I learned my job, I know what the best practices are, I know how to do this, and it's the flip side of end-user-driven. It's
right.
Like, I'm the end-user, and I know how to do this, stop. How big a factor is that, or is it a factor of any significance at all?
Where I was going with all that is that the talent challenge. It's really tough to find people that you need. Supply chain is not on a lot of people's radar screens when they go to school. They don't see that as what they want to do in life. Usually it's been an accidental type of thing where they end up there. But now I think what's happening is vendors are starting to talk to the schools and make it front of mind that this is a good way to spend your career is to get into supply chain. So you're getting people who are coming into this field with some actual hands-on experience. So I think you're getting a better caliber of professional in this field because it's now on their radar screen as opposed to getting in there by accident.
Well, I get that. That makes perfect sense.
I wonder maybe I didn't answer your question. Maybe.
Well, I wonder if there's more sex appeal in it now because the technology is making the supply chain so dynamic and interesting.
This
could that be it?
This thing that on my belt, this smartphone, I'm hearing that all over the show floor here is that, you know, it's bring your own device. Bring your device to work. Here's your window into your supply chain. It's no longer a black box that you don't understand. This is something that you use every day. You probably, in real life, use maybe 20% of the capabilities on your smartphone, but with this environment, you're using it to so much more advantage, using the GPS for transportation management, possibly, or knowing what's going on, where things are in your supply chain, and having an interface into a printer. Almost everything I've seen this morning has had that kind of element to it, this idea of your interface with this environment, with your supply chain, with your vendor, with your technology. So it's so much, I don't want to make this political, so much more democratic, small d.
Small d, gotcha. We've been talking about the people side of it a lot. Let's talk about the processes and how processes for moving material, be it a warehouse or inside of a factory. How has that changed? How's the whole procedure of getting all this done different?
Well, again, if you're talking lift trucks or the types of vehicles that Sigrid is talking about, or then I'm sure they're going to be talking about the Yale arrangement, but even lift trucks are information generators. So if you have the kinds of information that a lift truck will generate will help you in managing your fleet, in knowing how much usage you're getting out of your fleet, whether you're getting your money's worth out of your fleet. So that's a process of moving product. It's the process of moving product used to be just about moving of it, product, but now it's also about moving information. So I guess that's my point, is this parallel flow of product and information and the synchronization of that those streams. So they don't go off into diverse areas. It's for management, that's a key deliverable, is having not only the ability to move product efficiently, but having a control of the data stream that contributes to that efficiency, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's probably where the physical movement of product is going.
Well, let's shift perspective here for a second. We're three media guys here. Talk about media. I mean, Todd can probably harken back to his early days in manufacturing where these guys were selling out of print catalogs, you know, and now media is so different, interactive, digital, all those different kinds of things changing. What is your take? You keep a keen pulse on the industry. Is the materials handling space, are they up to speed on what's possible with digital media in terms of educating and expediting that communication process with their market?
Oh, absolutely. As I said, we're covering the show, we're tweeting now, so you have to be super efficient in how you get your information across. And it's a challenge for somebody like me who's been around for 30 years, who's used to the long form. You really do have to get so much more efficient because your audience doesn't have time to do a lot of reading. So you have to be more efficient in how you communicate. So that means not just print, but online as well. We're doing so much more now with video on our site. So posting videos, that gets so much more attention from the market if you can put that video in their context, your audience's context. It's not just posting. We have a little inside joke on our staff that what bleeds, leads. You know, that's the old, from all media, if it bleeds, it leads.
Yeah.
So OSHA, especially where lift trucks are concerned, you know, that's the number one accident, the number one citation is lift truck oriented. So anytime we post some information about the carnage that can happen, that automatically gets eyes. So if you can package into the sex of violence, if you can build in a lesson to that, which is what we're trying to do, is we're putting up galleries now on our site of videos under a theme. So we go to YouTube and do a collect on a theme, a bunch of different videos that relate to racking, for example, or man cages. We just did one. But man cages, these things that are kind of a poor man's scissor lift to get access to your ceiling. So there's a whole safety issue about that. So that gets attention if you put it in that context, this idea of putting safety first.
Tom, you've shared some insight in how all of the new forms of digital media are driving media industry and how the media, like you, are responding to it.
Right.
How about the flip side of it? How's the media driving the industry or helping the industry understand about the kind of technologies and capabilities that are out there now and available?
I mentioned before the idea of reaching education, you know, reaching out to education as to introduce them to supply chain earlier, getting them at the VOED level or the community college level. So I think we play a role there in introducing the younger generation to this field as a really good way to devote their professional life. Because supply chain is fascinating. It's a fascinating field. It is so broad. There are so many areas you can get into that I think what we bring to the table here is to place that. We're trying to work with more schools to kind of introduce students to this field. So, and I think a lot of OEMs are trying to do that too, just for their own interests of getting talent. So I think the opportunity is for us to work with the industry in reaching the next generation of professionals that will be coming into this field. There's a changing the guard right now between the older people, the my generation who are fixing to retire and needing to get a new generation in there to take over for them. And I think that is really the role that the media on our side, the trade media, the trade press, business press can partner with the industry and get that message across that this is a career that is worth pursuing. And I think even if you go to the movies today, there's always a scene where you'll see warehouse equipment like this at work in the background. Usually it's crime in the warehouse, but you'll see some interesting stuff there. So I kind of went far afield there. But the message is that I think we need to work more with the industry in recruiting talent to it so that what we see here is going to even advance even further as far as the technical expertise and sex appeal.
Yeah, what I think Tom is saying is supply chain is pop culture.
Yes, it is.
Todd, I wish we could talk to Tom on the final hour of this exhibition because I'd love to kind of pick his brain on what he's observed. But deep into day one, what do you think is the biggest news, the biggest story so far?
I still think it has to do with giving the end user access to his own, giving him a window into his own operations. And with the smartphone, it's e-commerce is putting the smaller players on an even competitive field with Amazon. So the idea of giving the smaller players the ability to come up to that level and compete with Amazon, I think that's what we're seeing on the floor here, is this bringing technology to the scalability, I guess, is the key word of this show, is helping end users bring their game up on a scale with Amazon to compete a little better, if that makes sense.
So that could be why Amazon's in the house. So
there you go.
There you go. All right, well, Tom, I hate to say it, we're out of time.
No,
before we let you go, how can people get in touch with you and learn more about material handling and logistics?
Well, our website is www.mhlnews.com. You'll find out all about what we do and all of our how we reach out to our industry. So I think that'll get you where you need to go, mhlnews.com.
All right. Tom Andell, Editor-in-Chief of Material Handling and Logistics. Tom, it was a pleasure to have you. Thank you, Todd. All right, well, that wraps our live coverage from ODEX. Again, a special thanks to Sigrid for backing today's broadcast. On behalf of today's guest, Tom Andell, my co-host Todd Youngblood, I'm Todd Schnick. Manufacturing Revival, we'll be right back.